Thank you for that, and thank you, Mount Pleasant Seventh-day Adventist Church. I am very humbled and honored to be asked to be back. I'm hoping you guys are enjoying this Sabbath day, this wet weather. My wife and I, Jacqueline, is here with me, as well as our three sons, Boone, Hudson, and Luke, and we are coming or traveling in from the Crowley Seventh-day Adventist Church. I'm an elder there at the Crowley Adventist Church, not a pastor by trade by any means, nor do declare to be. I believe it's by a lot of faith that I'm actually up here today, speaking in front of you, front of you all. But before we get started, I'd love to once again open with a word of prayer. Father God, once again, I know it's been said, but thank you for all your many blessings. Thank you for this Sabbath day. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to come worship you in spirit and in truth. And once again, we want to welcome and invite the presence of the Holy Spirit into this place. May the words that are spoken here today be from you and not me. May they anoint our hearts, our minds, and our lips to then be inspired by your holy word, by your message, by your testimony, to then go share that with others. Until that day comes, until the blessed hope comes, and you are coming through the clouds to take us home. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. As mentioned, my name's Heath. I've been here, I don't even know how many years we've been coming. It's been probably 8 or 9 or 10, something like that.
It was before children.
It was before children. How about that? That's easy for even this Aggie to remember. Our oldest is 10, so we've been coming a long time. But I want to say we truly appreciate you guys opening up your doors to us to come out and to spend time in the Word and to share a message, share a testimony. You know, the Scripture was found in verse Hebrews 11, 1. We'll get into the chapter itself of 11 today. But once again, I want to read just the 11:1 to you all. It says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Today I will be reading from my Bible, the NIV version. I understand some folks will have the King James, the New King James, the Clear Word, NIV. So there's a lot of different translations, but I will be reading from the NIV today. And yes, we will be reading from the Word. We'll be going into Scripture and talking and discussing throughout today's message. I told myself I wouldn't say this, but I say this every year right at the beginning. They told me I had an hour and 20 minutes to speak, so we're good. Yeah, I'm hopeful we won't take the full hour and 20 minutes, but hopefully you're picking up on my sarcasm too. But the message for today, it's titled Faith. It's a very simple word. You just look at it, it says, oh, faith. Okay, so what really, or where are we going with this, right? We'll be studying the what's and the whys of this extremely important concept. Our focus will be on Hebrews, as I mentioned, chapter 11. What I like about this chapter is it contains a list of famous people, kind of a who's who, of truly who exonerated what it means to have faith, to live through an experience, to be, I don't want to say subjugated, but to be used once again in the Scripture for us and for our benefit, thousands of years later, to be able to be applied to how those people walk through life. How those people, I believe it was mentioned just a second ago from the gentleman in the back, through the valleys of life and how they got through it. And I wrote down, these people persevered in the face of trials and sufferings. Have you thought of a time where you've persevered through trials and suffering? Has there been a time in your life where you thought, man, is the Lord really with me? I've grown up in the Adventist church. I've been in church school. Been in church all my life. But are there times in your life? That's the question I want you to think or ponder about through today's message, where you felt like maybe you didn't have as much faith as you need through those times of trials and suffering. There's a big craze going on. I know you guys all know this, the AI craze, the ChatGPT craze. And I thought it would be interesting to see What is faith? When I type into AI, what is faith? And so this is straight from AI. Faith is one of the most important themes in Scripture. It is not merely wishful thinking, positive thinking, or blind optimism. Biblical faith is trust in God. Trust based on who He is and what He has said and what He has done. Not too bad, right? I think that's pretty good. Pretty close, right? Well, the goal for today for me and today's message is to, for all of us to look inwardly into our own relationship with God, to prayerfully review our level of faith. Another takeaway I would like to call out or focus on would be to learn from other people in Scripture. I've always said in Bible studies at church, wherever I'm doing a Bible study, or I say, you can draw a lot from people in the Bible and the Scripture, these ordinary people that did extraordinary things. And the only way they did that was through God, right? The only way we saw that, or they saw that, that power, was through God. So, we can draw a lot of experience from these people in Scripture. And so that's what I'd like to do today. Before we get into the story or the chapter 11, I'd like to share an example with you. I did not share this with my wife, so hopefully she's okay and I can ride home with her today. It is a long drive home. But faith for myself was tested before we had children, when we thought we would never have children. And we tried different medical ways to have children, with fertility treatments. And we had a miscarriage. Some time went on. We had another fertility treatment. We had another miscarriage. And I can tell you, just standing up here, that it tested my faith. It truly tested my faith. We built a room in our house, a nursery. We painted it blue. We put a crib in there, changing table. We decorated it. Does anybody want to guess how long that room stayed empty before we had our first child? Close. For 5 years, that room stayed empty. For 5 years, we prayed. For 5 years, we stayed focused on the Lord. I think Boone's running the camera. But we've got Boone, Hudson, and Luke. They're all testimonies to faith. I believe if I don't say anything else today, I hope it touched you as far as it touched us. But I'm not trying to point this to me or my wife. I'm trying to point this to the journey. I'm trying to point this to the experience in your own life. Where have you seen God working? Because whether you see Him now or not, He is working. He is there. I'm reminded of it every day. Somebody asked my wife, why did you paint the room blue? Why didn't we paint it pink? Or beige or gray? It was blue. I thought that's so ironic. Not ironic. An answer to prayer, God's will. We have three boys. And that room was blue. Church family, faith is real. Faith is still around us. Faith is still working. Don't give up. Persevere. Stay focused. Trust in God. Don't trust in the world or science. Trust in the author and finisher of our faith. plainly put, faith is trust in God more than the world. In Hebrews chapter 11, I would like to pull out some examples. As mentioned, it was read earlier, I read it. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for. We were hoping for these little boys, hoping for children. And certain of what we do not see. A constant reminder walking by that room and seeing that empty crib. One example of how we do this, we establish God's existence. Who's in charge, right? Who put it in? Who spun it into motion? I believe that was mentioned in the Sabbath school class about the existence of God. Since verse 3, 11 verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So we have to have a foundation. That foundation is God. He put everything into existence. I was told this as a young child until I came to an age where I understood it. I tell my sons, well, it's because God did it. Well, why, Dad? Right? They're asking these questions. They need to experience. They need to have an experience. We need to have an experience constantly of faith, of trusting in God and seeing every time. It's like a step. It's like steps on or rungs on a ladder. We have to have faith. I'm sorry, an experience with faith, with God, throughout our lives to then grow our faith. I put down here in one of my notes, it's like a muscle. You got to work that out to keep those muscles, right? You got to work your faith out. How do you work your faith out? Do you just sit over in the corner and say, okay, God's got it? No, you don't. You have to do something. There has to be a willing participant on the other side from God saying, Heath. God saying, Jacqueline, right? I need you. We need to do this together. It's going to grow you. It's going to benefit you. We see the same thing in the Bible. It's no different. 11 verse 4, Hebrews 11 verse 4, excuse me. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain. By faith, in verse 5, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. Wow. Isn't that amazing? By faith, he was taken from this world to be with God. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Once again, he did. He moved. He got up. He acted. Right? Noah in holy fear. This is not a fear of the Lord burning you. It's a loving, it's an honoring of the God he served. So he acted upon it. Noah did. He acted upon it. Abraham did. We see multiple times in Abraham's story, by faith Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. It goes on and on. We talk about Joseph. All right, I'm sorry. It talks about Joseph. It talks about Moses. Can you put yourself in the shoes of Moses for a minute? Leading millions of people in the wilderness, out in the desert. How much faith did this man grow, exercise, trust, when he acted upon what God was telling him? Here we see a man who said, I'm not a good speaker, Lord. You know, time and again. Use somebody else. No, I want to use you. because I've got a purpose for you. And Moses did. He moved. He got up. And by doing so, we are sharing these stories today, thousands of years. Once again, thousands of years later, we are sharing these stories of men, people, women of faith, because they moved, they got up, they trusted. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, in verse 31, was not killed with those who were disobedient. She had faith. We know what her profession is, or was, right? But she had faith. Does that give us any hope that God can use us? Does that give you any hope? I know it gives me some hope. I'm talking to myself just as much as I'm talking to the group today. Have faith. Step out. Be moved. It goes on in verse 32. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to talk about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. I actually was going to use the story of Gideon today. It's one of my favorite stories of the Bible. Just about how much faith he had to have to go through what he did. Right? The smallest of the clan, or the least, he felt the least of the warriors, right? But the angel came to him. The Lord comes to us. The Lord comes to you and says, I want to use you for my purpose. Do you have faith? Will you step forward? Will you move? Will you trust in what I'm asking you to do? We see that Gideon in that story said, forgive me, Lord. He tested, right? How many times? Multiple times, right? Forgive me, Lord. But please, if you can do this, make this happen. It happened. Exactly like he asked. Dear Lord, can you just do the reverse of this, you know, one more time. And I'm reading it going, oh man. But the Lord did it. The Lord loves us. The Lord meets us where we're at. Where I'm going at with that is we're all at different levels of our faith in our walk of life, right? We are all in a different spot. But the Lord can use us, each and every one of us, at every spot, at every place. He's right there waiting for us. He's right there waiting for me. He's right there waiting for you. Now my question to the church. Can you point to a time in your life when you exercised faith? Or a time in which you thought you didn't have enough, as I mentioned earlier? Have you grown in your experience by leaning into God or away from God? We all know the answer to that. We only grow when we lean in. You want to lean into God? Because if you don't lean into God, guess where you're leaning? You're leaning to the world. I mentioned it probably 4 or 5 years ago, the story about a hot burning coal. That's a good example for me. I'm a visual learner. You see that hot coal that's in the fire, right? I know it's summertime. I probably should have said this during the winter. If I was here during the winter, I'm sorry. That hot coal in the fire, and you take it out, what happens to that hot coal? Cold. Doesn't stay red hot, does it? It loses its heat because it's away from the source. The source is the fire. Jesus is our fire. Jesus is our source. We need to stay close to Jesus. Are you focused on the world? Or what God has planned for your life. Another thing to think about is Faith is not just for your benefit. Did you know that? Think about that. Our faith journey can benefit our family, can benefit our friends, our coworkers, our church family, and others. I literally just shared the testimony of faith building in my house 10 plus years ago that my wife had to went down. That's a testimony. And brothers and sisters, there's nothing stronger than your testimony. When you share your testimony, no one can refute that. That's between you and the Lord and the experience that you had. Some ways faith increases by. I could probably ask it. I know a couple of the top two or three. Prayer, right? Faith increases by your prayer life. A daily prayer life. Spending time in the Word. I have a friend that calls this a love letter. This is God's love letter to us. Did you know that? It's His Bible. It's His Word. He loves us. This is an ever-living Word. As I've got my notes falling. It's ever-living Word. It's true. It's a fire. Spend time in it. Ask the Lord. If you don't have time, ask the Lord to give you time. He will. He will help you find time. But prayer, spending time in the Word, surrender. Oh, this one might be a little harder for some. I need a mirror and look at myself here. Surrendering to God. I give my day to God every day when I get up, ready to meet the day. Halfway through the day, I find myself sometimes crawling back away from the Lord, right? I got to pull myself back in. I got to rein it back in. Surrender to Him. Wouldn't you want the Lord running your life versus you? I know I would. I want Him to. Every moment, every decision. Please, help me, Lord. Right? Guide me. Direct me. Going through experiences that life throws at us. Once again, I implore you to read chapter 11. I know we don't have time today, but read Hebrews 11 today, this weekend, this week. Pray about it. Read it. Experiences that life throws at us. You may be going through something right now. It may be down the road. You may have just gotten through something. But I can promise you, when you get on the other side and you're focusing and following the Lord and you're asking Him to give you that wisdom, He will. He will show you. I've learned, I've grown in my walk, I've grown in my understanding of the Bible. As mentioned at the very beginning, if you had asked me this 10 plus years ago that I would have the honor of speaking in front of people, I would have laughed in your face. I was a Christian that went to church to go to church. I went through the motions, I was a good Christian boy, came to church for my mom, right, your parents. And then did my thing in the world. God got me back. And my faith has grown tremendously in that short amount of time. And I want nothing more than you guys, if you haven't, to experience the same thing. An overwhelming sense of peace in this world that's swirling around when you go outside these doors. This world wants to devour us as Christians. Land the plane, point blank. The devil wants you to fail. He wants you to be stressed, to be worried, to tensious, anxious. What? Fill in the blank. But not the Lord. Surrender to God. Act on your faith, on the hope that you have. Move like these people in the Bible did, these ordinary people that did extraordinary things. Friends, our faith is a precious gift. God wants us to all grow in. We are all at different levels of faith. Life, as mentioned earlier, is coming at us full speed ahead. Life doesn't stop just because we're having an issue or we're going through something. And we need to focus our attention on the author and finisher of our faith, Christ Jesus. My earnest prayer is that we stay in constant communication with our Lord and Savior daily. We read His Word and cling to the stories of earlier Christians who chose to live for the Lord and not the world. These Christians give us a blueprint as to how we can grow in our faith and hope in Him. This does not mean the Lord is going to answer all of our experiences in life the way we want or expect them to. This is truly the essence of building our faith and trust in Him, knowing that He is with us every step of the way. I'd like to share a quick poem with everyone to draw on, and what I hope you take away from this poem, it's a pretty famous poem, that He, the Lord, is with us. One night I dreamt that I was walking along the beach with my Lord. Across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. From each scene I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. When the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that many times along the path of my life there was only one set of footprints. I realized that this was at the lowest and saddest times in my life. This bothered me, and I questioned the Lord about it. Lord, You told me when I decided to follow You, You would walk and talk with me all the way. But I'm aware that during the most troublesome times of my life, there's only one set of footprints. I just don't understand why. When I need You most, You would leave me. The Lord replied, "My precious child, I love you and I will never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." Brothers and sisters, I don't know where you're at in your faith journey, in your walk, but there is someone that is right there with you, right here. And in the times of those high points of your life, in the times in the valleys, it was mentioned earlier, you may only see one set of footprints. Know that that's the time your Heavenly Father is with you. By faith, He is with you. By faith, He is walking with us. By faith, once again, I could go through, you know, through chapter 11, through all the people, the mighty people in the Bible and the Scripture, that by faith, by faith, by faith, we need to have faith and more faith. Not only that, we need to act and we need to move on it. Faith is a willingness to take the next step, not knowing what's next, but trusting who is walking it with you. Father God, thank You for once again for this wonderful Sabbath day. Thank You once again for this wonderful church family. Thank You for the message. Thank You for Your blessings. We invite and impart and ask for the blessings upon each and every person here under the sound of my voice. And may You bless the rest of the Sabbath day. We love You and we thank You in Your precious name. Amen.